You're listening to Marriage Takeover with Eric and Tamika Thompson, helping to enrich your marriage.
Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. How's everybody doing? It's your boy, E-Rock Nim.
It's your girl, Tamika.
Listen, we having fun, so I done jumped the gun. So I'm
gonna,
we're going to start all over again.
Keep it real.
We keep it raw.
We keep it uncut.
All day.
We are
Marriage Takeover.
We help couples win in their marriage by identifying their triggers and breaking generational cycles. So welcome to our podcast for the month, this month. We are going to go ahead and get started with prayer, and we're going to jump right in.
Hey, we're going to jump in that thing, hey, because it's going to be lit.
It's going to be good.
So, Father in heaven, Lord God, we bless your name, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing. So, God, we pray now in the name of Jesus, oh, God, that your divine will be done on this day, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that through this podcast, Father, and through, God, just through this broadcast, Father, that your divine will be done, Father, because I know that you have put a word in today's broadcast to be an encouragement to a marriage, oh, God, to be a healing, to a marriage, oh, God, to be a way in a marriage, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God, a deliverance to a marriage, Father. And so, God, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for what the outcome is going to be. God, we even thank you for even the presence of what it is, oh, God. Father, so that you can show your awesomeness, oh, God. So, Father, we thank you now, God. We give you glory. God, we serve the enemy. Notice that no more. No more. When he come and divide. So, Father, we rebuke it now in the name of Jesus. And, God, we thank you. God, we give you glory. God, continue to let your anointing rest, oh, God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And, Father, we bless you now. God, we give you glory.
Yes,
Father, we say this
God.
Prayer in your darn son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Ah, yes, God.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So today's podcast title is?
You had it? I thought you were going to why is she looking at me?
Why does the woman always have to take control?
Why do the woman always
ready for this? Why does the woman have to? Let me first do this, y'all.
Hold on, no, wait.
I got a sparkle microphone, y'all. I'm excited about my sparkle microphone.
Do y'all see all this sparkle, all this blingage? Listen, I just keep it straight. You hear me? I just keep it straight.
I appreciate that.
Hey,
before we get in too deep.
It's the air.
I know. You better not. We are not.
Yeah, we ain't that. Go ahead.
What was I going to say? Jesus. Keep
me knit across.
So I wanted to also, because this is the first time we've done our broadcast since the senseless shootings and the violence that has taken place across the country. And so I wanted to, on a serious note, for the children and the teachers and the adults that were slain in Uvalde, Texas, to the citizens that were slain in Buffalo, New York, and to the people that were in California in the church that was also had a shooting over the last couple of weeks. We want to send our prayers and our thoughts with you on today. I know sometimes, and some people are saying that, you know, the prayers and thoughts is too much of that going on. What are we going to do now to stop this from happening again? I don't know what the answer is. Changing the gun laws. Yeah, you can change the gun laws, but you can't change the crazy people. So I don't know what that answer is, but I do know that we serve a God who knows all, who sees all, who has all power in his hand, who is all-knowing. And so I want to just, again, just admonish us and encourage us to continue to pray so that God can always be in control. Why that happened, I have no idea. But our prayers and our thoughts are with those parents, are with those families, are with those loved ones. And we're here for you. We are praying for you. Our thoughts are with you. And if you need anything, whatever you need, reach out to us on Marriage Takeover. And whatever we can provide, however we can meet that need, we will absolutely make sure that we get that out to you all.
Amen. Amen. We just, you know, because there's just a lot of times there are a lot of things that actually take place around us that the events of certain things also weigh on the marriages as well.
Right.
So when you think about, you know what I'm saying, what took place in those areas, because even grief itself weighs on a marriage. We had tackled that piece a little bit ago, but, you know, it's just, it's crazy because when you sit back and look at it, you know, as the scripture tells us, war will be with us always.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, some things can change. Well, all we got to do is just reach out and see how our brother or how our sister is doing. Because sometimes, you know, we can get caught up in our own mind and our own way of thinking, what we have allowed the enemy to come in with his trickery. So, you know, we can always be mindful of that. I turned myself off. I can't help it that it just, oh, off my phone, my watch. But, so, yeah. So our hearts, our thoughts, and our prayers goes out to all of the family that was affected by the senseless actions that took place.
Yeah, it was absolutely senseless.
And so, but we still thank God because yet He is still good.
Right before the podcast, we were Eric was, y'all know Eric can't say
listen. Don't you so get we started were, right now. Don't you get started.
We were singing. We're
the Join Jesus.
Right, and it was awesome. And so when you think about just even what is going on, like there are a lot of things we can complain about, right? But God has still been so good and He's still been so faithful. And I just want us to always remember that God is still a just God.
Yes, He is.
He is still a sovereign God.
Yes, He is.
He is still a righteous God.
Yes, He
He's
is.
He's still a living God.
Yes.
Amen. So we're going to get started.
Listen, because all of my good days.
Oh, there He goes.
Woo!
I didn't think He was going to do it.
They outweigh my bad days, and I won't complain. Last time, because God has been good to me.
He's so very good to me.
So I just say, thank you, Lord. Hey, woo! I'm going to stop right there because I'm just going to say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And I won't complain.
Okay, baby. Hold
on. Watch out now. Y'all better watch out now.
No.
Woo, glory. I'm sorry. Y'all got to excuse me. So listen.
Right.
So I'm going to tell you, man, I don't know if y'all have been following Kitchen Conversations because it's just been on point. And so we're not going to do the part two of Kitchen Conversations. You got to catch that on Thursday.
Yes.
But we're going to dig into this one thing. So we received a question. Was the wife said, now that I make more money, my husband, what he said, now my husband, wait, what was that question? Because I make more money, now my.
Basically, the husband acting funny.
Right. So
there's a battle of sometimes there's some insecurity
right.
that can lay there.
Right.
There is also a challenge where even though the wife is making more than the husband, that sometimes we feel like we then become in control.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so we had to start breaking that thing down. Like, wait a second. And, you know, y'all know we transparent, right? We can only talk about us. And so.
That's all we can talk about is us.
So many of you may or may not know, but we've been married 24 years now.
Right.
And so when we first started marriage, I was making more money than he was.
Listen, like, if we covered this before. She's been making more money than me the entire marriage.
Except for there was one
six
time.
Months.
Okay.
Six
okay.
months. I had got a raise that put me threshold over her, but 6 months later, she got a raise. And boop, back to the top she goes. I said, you know what? I won't complain. Why? Because at that point, I didn't recognize that God was being good to me.
Right, but I think too the challenge where I had the challenge and I was out of alignment with where God wanted me to be in the role was because I thought that I was making more money because I was out working in the marketplace and I was in charge of many different areas and many different things and really was controlling things. I brought that same domineering to home,
uh-huh.
And so I felt like I was in charge at home.
Y'all know I'm low key not crazy. I mean low key I'm crazy.
A little bit.
I had to let her know. Not here, champ. Not here. Don't know where you think you're at, but not here. But the thing it got me was that I had to ask because when you, in some marriages, you literally have where both people are alpha, have an alpha attitude. And so when you look at
Alpha
personality, attitude, yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter, it's you. So what tripped me, I didn't mean it like that. So don't take it that way. So the thing is that you ask yourself, what is really the issue? Because when you look at it, I hate to say it like this, but when you sit back and look at the things that God is actually doing in your marriage, and when you sit back and look at the things that God is doing in your marriage, you both have an opportunity to be somewhere. But a lot of times we fall out of alignment because of the things that we have to battle with within ourselves.
Right.
Because there are things that we have to battle with that takes us all the way back to the beginning of time.
Right.
Well, what do you mean by that, Deborah? Well, what I'm saying is that when Adam messed up in the garden, that's what began to cause the conflict. Because when you look at it, the reason why that you in your marriage always have those bumps, when you bump head all the time, when you don't see eye to eye, it's because of a conflict.
Right.
So it could be a conflict, but based on how you grew up, what your belief system is, what your triggers are, you see what I'm saying? It begins to be that. But then when you trace this thing all the way back to the beginning, so if you have your Bibles, let's just look at it real quick. Is it all right? You got something to say?
No, you're good.
Come back. I might do a lot of talking today, so y'all just say, bruh, hush, let sis talk. Okay. Because I'm excited about this. And so when you look back at this thing, right, let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
So now y'all already know that we at Marriage Takeover, y'all already know that we have what you would call, we go by biblical principles.
Right. Period.
I mean, that's just,
end of story.
That's just the bottom line. That's just who we are. Because
we're not going to do is debate anybody over the word of God.
Come on now.
That's not what we're going to do.
Listen, you come for me, I might challenge you. I'll mess with you. But nah, but look at her. So this is what we told. So because understand, this is how we got out. This is how we understood. And this is how it began to work for us.
Right.
So the one thing that I will tell you is that it does not matter in what your cultural background is. When you get married, you still go to an altar. I don't care what you believe, what your belief, what your culture, your ethnic background is, there's still an altar for marriage. And so understanding that there is an altar for marriage, then that means what? Something has to be sacrificed. Woo-hoo! I'm going to let that alone. So anyway, let's look at Genesis 3 and 16. Genesis 3 and 16. I'm going to read this first one out of the King James Version, then I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. Okay. So King James says, 3:16, it says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So when you look at King James, the way that it's stated in the King James Version, mind now, remember, this is being translated in an Eastern culture. Oh, come on here, Lord. We break this thing down. But it's being translated from a different standpoint than the actual Hebrew language. So with this, it looks like it's saying that the woman's desire is to her own husband. Because many people go ahead and follow that scripture back all the way going to what Paul said in Ephesians. But that's not what it's saying. So when you break this thing down into the Hebrew language, you begin to see that's where the New Living Translation come in, because that's the closest to the Hebrew translation.
Right.
So when you look at it, it says, then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, wait a minute. So right there, that begins the conflict issue. Why? Because your desire is to be in the footsteps of your husband versus being the helpmeet that God created you to be. So when you look at it, let's take a look further back.
Let's can I ask a question?
No.
No? Can I ask a question?
You say yes. Go ahead, ask that question.
So the question that I have is, right, because that was a curse, right?
No. Uh-uh. It wasn't a curse.
That she will want to rule over her husband.
Listen. The reason why, because when you look at it, a lot of people think that it was a curse or a command. No, he's letting her know that's her desire. Why? Because she brought the fruit to Adam.
Right. So then the question that I was going to ask was, had she not had to bring the fruit to Adam? Or not even that she brought the fruit to Adam. Because I don't think it was there that things shifted.
No, it shifted when Adam ate.
It shifted when he ate.
Right.
So because he ate, that she now wants, because I don't think she wanted that control initially when she brought the fruit.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. I'm ready for this.
Yeah, you ready for this? So she may not have wanted the control.
Right.
But because she took control off of the word that Adam had already spoke. So now let's look at it. Let's go to chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 2. Uh-oh, I didn't pull that part. Wait a minute. I think I got it in here. Yeah. Let's go to 2. Right? Actually, I need to go higher than that. So let's go to chapter 2. We're going to look at verse. I might need some help over here. I'll pull up my scriptures. Where is that? All right. So real quick, now she just hit me with a question that I got to actually go, because I want us all to look at this thing together. Is that all right? Amen. So, I'm there.
Well, I was going to say, you can come back to it if you want to finish on with your thing.
Well, no.
Wrote it down.
Oh, no, it's good. I'm glad you did that. So, what we're going to look at 2 and 18,
okay,
where God said that man shall not be alone. Why did he say that? Because everything that God created, he created two.
Right.
He created one for seed and one for plant. He brought one for seed and one for nourish.
Okay.
Oh my God. But the only one that did not have a nourish was Adam. So he said it's not good for man to be alone. Why? Because each one that God created was able to help. It was able to help his own kind except for Adam. Let me know because I feel Jesus. I'm telling you right now.
You're good.
So what took place was that God said in 18, he said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone, for I will make him a help meet for him.
Mm-hmm.
So do you hear, this is God already giving the job description for his mate.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So now he says what? So now you begin to see where God brought all the animals to Adam. He began to name everybody. You know what I'm saying? That's a cow, that's a goat, that's a sheep, that's a hen, that's a that, right? So what is he doing? He is still identifying who Adam is.
Okay.
Because, see, a lot of times, like, oh, what should we name the baby? I'm going to stop right there because, like, I let my grandma name the baby. But, no, I'm just, listen, oh, my God, let me leave this off. I'm going to keep going. And so, look at what he says. So, John 9, 21, and he says, after Adam got through doing all that work.
Right.
So he caused a deep sleep to come over Adam.
Mm-hmm.
While Adam was asleep, he performed the first transplant surgery. Because the scripture says he pulled the rib, he opened him up, pulled the rib, and closed him back up.
Right.
So he opened the womb, pulled the rib, and closed the womb.
Right. Yes.
What happened to a woman in pregnancy? It's open, then it's closed. Oh, my God. So I'm sorry. My mind is going here. So anyway. So this is the thing that you have got to understand. Every woman is not fit for every man. Why? Because the rib has its own fit. Jesus. I know we're not going there. But anyway, so he pulled the rib. But he took the rib, which the rib in this is the seed because it came out of man. And he performed another miracle, is that he created woman.
Right.
Check this. He create a woman that is yet equal, but yet a helper.
Got it.
Not to control.
So the job description
of the wife is to be equal and a helper.
Okay.
But, so.
That's good, baby.
So, now he didn't hear you. Now, here's your husband, right? Y'all hopping through the garden.
Right.
Y'all having fun. Y'all breaking y'all break it down? Because guess what? Because in chapter 2, it says they were naked and not ashamed.
Right.
So my question to you is, are you still ashamed of some of your scars that while your wife can see you naked or your husband can see you naked? Because you'd be amazed on how many marriages right now where the wife literally has not seen their, well, where the spouse has not seen their spouse totally naked. Why? Because
they're still
ashamed. Why?
Right.
Because you have not been vulnerable.
Right.
So anyway, it's all right. Do you want me to keep going?
No, you good. You good. Keep going.
Okay.
Yeah,
so now you get to the end, and they were naked and not ashamed. They were happy what God has done. Why? Because now he has the perfect fit for what he has to do.
Right.
So now they come to where in the garden, God had put the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
Eve begins to talk with the outsider. Listen. Do you know, think about this, women, wives, you have more people in your ear than your husband do.
You think so?
Hmm? You want me to prove it?
Prove it.
Who did the servant talk to? Did he talk to Adam or did he talk to Eve?
but did he talk to Eve because she had not experienced God at yet a level where Adam had?
Hmm? Say what?
Did the serpent talk to Eve because she had not experienced God at the level where Adam had? Because remember, Adam walked with God. Adam was with God. Him and God created stuff. And here come Eve on the back end.
Hold on, wait a minute.
And she was just instructed to do these things.
Hold on, time out. Because I got to correct you. Adam didn't create nothing.
Well, he was with God.
Right. So when you look at chapter,
you're right, because God created everything, then he created man.
Right.
Got it. But he then named all the beings and the creatures, so he was doing something.
Oh, yeah.
So him and God were doing that together.
Listen,
so he was with God, though.
So you got to look at this. The scripture says in chapter 2
yes.
that he brought the animals to him.
Okay.
For him to name.
Okay.
God didn't have a hand in him naming. He brought it to him with.
Let me help you out.
So when you look at chapter 3 after they ate of the fruit,
right,
the scripture says that he came in the cool of the day.
Right.
They hid. So what are you saying? God still came in the time frame that he always come in.
Got it. Okay. So then
so they were he had an experience with God.
Okay.
So now,
dang, Eve, I was trying to come rescue you.
Because, listen, but it's not, but see, this is the thing. It's not on Eve.
Right, it's not on Eve.
Why?
I absolutely believe it was Adam.
Because the things changed from the seed.
Right.
The seed, which is Adam.
Right, and had he not eaten,
then nothing would have happened to Eve.
Absolutely.
Because she ate of it. Why? Because, well, hold on, what you eat of that fruit for? Because nothing happened until it hit the seed.
Okay.
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm excited about this thing. And so when you look at this thing, that's why I say who has more chatter in their ear? Women do.
Okay.
Versus the man. Why? Because us men, we already know what we want.
Right.
And when we know what we want, it is no changing.
Okay.
Just think about it. How many times you be trying to use your son? How many times you told your son that is wrong for you, don't do that? And how long did he keep going after it? One blank. But then you look at it. Who actually deals with the spirit of gossip the most?
The women.
Thank you.
Now, I know some men, though.
Oh, I'm not saying they're not obsolete.
But you're right. The women do mostly, yeah.
Most of the gossip, right?
Right.
So when you look at this thing, so now you finna understand why there's always so much conflict. Because it starts all the way back there.
Right. So would you call that a spiritual root?
Well, what else would it be?
Yeah, spiritual root, like a spiritual root. Because, and I'm glad you said that it goes way back, but God did the restoration in Ephesians to reset the order.
What? So I'm going to ask you a question.
Ephesians 5, right?
So, no, I hear you. I'm with you.
Right.
But let me ask you a question. The question is, How many conflicts do we? How many conflicts do we run into?
A lot.
Huh?
A lot.
Right. We have a lot of conflicts, right?
Right. Right.
But we have learned down through the years how to deal with the conflict.
Right.
So that it does not hinder. Right.
Right.
So, but you just said it reset it in Ephesians. So what does it mean? That means it still boils down to what you still choose to do.
Right. Right. But so. Let me bring some clarity to what I just said. I think a lot of times we women, we don't realize where the root of that has come from, because I don't think that it's communicated enough that says that when that time took place with Adam and Eve, that that was the root of it. And I don't think we understand that that's the root. So when we have certain behaviors and we have certain things, again, I'm saying that that was the root of what it was. And God told her, yes, you will want to rule over your husband, but no, he's going to rule over you. And when he then went back to reset things in Ephesians 5. Go ahead.
I
know. I was about to grab.
This is why you might as well go and pick up
my Bible.
When it says, you know your role in your marriage. See, I know what a lot of you probably thinking. You're thinking that, oh, that the husband, that the wife got to always do this and that the husband got to always do that. No. When you read this book, you really see what we're talking about. And so we're going to clarify it today. You need your Bible.
And so... Yeah, so so for Ephesians 5:22, for wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord.
So let me stop you right there. So you got to go back up to 20. Read what 20 says.
And give thanks.
21.
And further, submit to one another out of reverence.
See that?
So yeah.
Right. So that's what, see, but that's the piece that is always missing.
You're right. That is the piece that's always missing.
So when you, so I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, babe, please let me finish.
No, I'm, man,
I'm hot. What I was going to say was, I said all that to say
that
he had to come back, and he is again reminding us of this is the honor. Because.
Yes. And the reason why, when you look at it, because what it's saying.
Because they're still equal, because they still have to submit one to another.
Right. But the wife is the helper.
Right.
That, so
she's
it doesn't.
Always been the helper.
Right. But that's when you look at it, because everybody has to now be trying to take control. And so when you look at it, so when the husband grew up, when the wife grew up, the husband grew up with challenges, so therefore insecurities was planted in them. You know, disbelief was planted in them. Untrust was planted in them. Same thing with the wife. But now it's how can me and my husband live in perfect harmony? So say you get that one that matched well, like that real, it's in there. You still battle with the conflict because of the warning that God gave.
Right.
Why? Because it's human. It has become human nature.
Right. I agree with that 100%.
You see what I'm saying? So
all I'm saying is back in Ephesians 5 is that he is, again, reminding us of what the order is, and I'm reminding us this is how you overcome this. Because I think oftentimes we get...
Well, let's look at that.
We get misplaced and different things come about, and I think we lose focus on what the covenant is and how you say that the rib is a match. Well, what happens when we get the wrong match?
Well, but see this is the thing, and this is the part that I always that I stand on. I have to go find it, but this because this verse is out of my notes. It says that he that finds a wife finds a good thing.
Right.
He that finds a wife. So here. You have boys looking for girls. You don't have men looking for a woman.
And not only that, I think we have the men or the boys looking for, like you said, the girls, but they're not looking for the help meet.
No,
they're not looking for.
The woman was created to be a help meet.
Right.
So it's just as Paul said. Just as Paul said, when I was a child, I did things as a child.
Right, right.
But when I became a man, I put away my childish things. So you basically still have those that are running around trying to be grown or trying to be a woman but still playing girl games.
Trying to be big when little got you.
Exactly. And it's same thing
right,
with men.
Right.
There's no difference in it. But you have to understand, in order for you to jail, when you go to the altar, something has to sacrifice.
Right.
And that's the part that we don't never want to give up. we have or what we thought we had that was good for us.
Right. And I think
we don't know what to sacrifice.
And I think it's also important to note, too, that success in marriage is being about committed to the covenant, being committed to the covenant that you made before God, being to the, you know, committed to the covenant that you have, that you made between your spouse and God.
Right.
Really.
Right.
And so we, it's a conscious decision to love.
Right.
And I think when we get away from that, it's a conscious decision to love unconditionally.
So you brought it to, and yeah. So, and looking at that, right? Based off of what you said, there are three major things that have to take place in order to deal with conflict in a civilized way.
Okay. Let's
one, talk. Love. Two, patience. Three, humbleness.
Okay.
Because or love,
humility.
Huh?
Humility.
Well, humbleness, humility, how you want to look at it, is all the same. But when you look at it, love, that means I am willing to love you through all of it. And the one thing that I was looking at this, the Lord kind of tripped me out because he showed me there are four different types of love that is exercised in marriages. You have the love, it's called storge. Wait a minute, S-T-O-R-G-E, which means empathy.
Storge
love, which means empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have philia love, which means that friendly bond, you know, Philadelphia, brotherly love. So, you know, then you have eros, which is that romantic love.
Right.
But then you have agape, which is unconditional. Meaning what? If I cut your roses down, you won't be mad with me. You won't carry this anger, or you won't be mad with me for days on end.
Right.
Because that love covers that wrongdoing.
Right. But I also want to just interject just for a moment and add to that to say that although it is unconditional love, it is okay to set boundaries. Because if you are in a situation where you are with a spouse that is emotionally abusing you, that is verbally abusing you, that is physically abusing you, and you are saying, okay, I'm going to unconditionally love you through this, yeah, you can love them through that, but it doesn't mean that you have to stay there for the abuse.
So, again, we don't tell nobody to leave or stay, but what we're saying is
get to safety and get some help.
Get help.
That's what I'm saying.
Stand
so
your ground.
You create boundaries because I want to make sure that, yes, it's unconditional love, but that's unconditional love because we love each other. We set those boundaries. It's not okay for you to continuously hurt me.
Right. No, that is not okay. Wait, I'm glad you said that because even when you look at it, because even when you look at Hebrews 13, it's talking about giving honor to marriage. And then when you look at Hebrews, when you look at 1 Peter 3, it's talking about how the husband should honor the wife. And so that right there just backs up what you just said. We're not punching back.
Right.
And vice versa. Because even though that wife still has to honor the husband, and that husband still has to honor the wife.
Right.
And so, but that's the thing is that when the conflict comes, the honor goes out the window. Nah, because now both of you are being jacked up.
Right.
And so the thing is that, put like this, if you're struggling with communication, it's going to be a real hard time for you to get to the bottom of your conflict. Why? Because no one wants to talk.
Right.
If you're struggling with intimacy, it's going to be a hard time for you all to get to the bottom of the conflict. Why? Because you don't know how to be vulnerable with one another.
Right. Okay. Right.
You see what I'm saying? Think about it. Like when we first got started, we didn't know how to get to the bottom of it.
We sure didn't. We ran a circle. The cycle of crazy is what we call it.
It wasn't. You know the songwriter say, you got me going in circles.
Down.
Right. See, that's what was us. Because we running in circles because, one, we didn't know how to communicate. We didn't know how to communicate with trust issues. We didn't know how to communicate with self-assurance. We didn't know how to communicate, so therefore, by us not knowing how to communicate, guess what? Then it came to the point where we could not be vulnerable with one another, so therefore, where is the intimacy?
Right.
The intimacy only came doing sex. That, what is that? Both of us ain't doing nothing but busting nuts and going about our business.
Right.
Busting nuts and orgasms going on. But what did that actually solve?
Right.
You're not making, we weren't making love. We were just having sex.
Right.
I wonder how many marriages out there that don't know how to communicate but jump into bed and think that they actually
solve something. Right.
Because the issue going to come around because now you ain't do nothing but just get on a high. Come on here,
right.
dog. What you doing? Why? Because it is through the conflict that builds your bond stronger.
Right.
But if you don't know how to deal with the conflict, then what good is it going to be? Because then what you get to be is you start being conditioned to avoid it.
Right. And that leads to separation, to divorce, because now you've already checked out mentally.
Yep.
You checked out then physically.
Yep.
And then next thing is you just out the door.
Yep. So it's listen.
Yeah.
This is nothing but our testimony because we know what it looked like on both sides. So it's like we made it, and you know, was it always peaches and cream? Nah. We both had to deal with verbal abuse. Yeah, I called her some things. Your thug. She called me some things too.
I did. We did.
But it got to that point where I was like, you know, forget this. I'm tired of this. So it's like, what we gonna do? Either we finna go our separate ways or are we going to sit here and we finna deal with this?
Right, right. And it was a conscious choice. People ask us all the time, how did you do it? Number one, it was God.
And we made a darn decision.
Number two, we made a decision and a commitment to come out. And when you do that, your behavior changes. When you do that, your responses change. When you do that, you behave differently. And we had to choose to do that every single day, every hour of the day.
I'm telling you, one brief moment, we'll be right back after this short commercial break.
I'm Courtney Rock, Mary.
Keep it real.
Keep it raw.
Keep it intact.
All day.
We are Marriage Takeover.
So we help couples win in their marriage by identifying their triggers and breaking generational cycles.
Yep.
We know that if you are watching this video right now, mm-hmm. you're at a point where you're willing to work on your marriage.
Yep.
Right? So you're truly at a point where you want to enjoy your spouse. You want your life then, your peace, your joy, all that great stuff back in
yep.
your marriage. So that's why we want to invite you
mm-hmm.
to our free
yep.
5-day
Renew Our Marriage Challenge.
In this challenge, we're going to be sharing some of our best strategies that you can implement mm-hmm. in your marriage in just 5 days.
5 days.
No matter where you are in your marriage, if you're willing to put in the work,
put in the work.
It will work for you.
Yes, it will.
So we've been helping couples now all across the world, and we want to make sure that we're giving you a front row seat.
Okay.
That is why we're inviting you to this challenge. So all you have to do is click the button below, register for the challenge, and we'll see you on the other side. Don't forget to invite another couple, right? We can't wait to see you on the other side.
Hey, man, so we're just feeling so good. So, hey, check out that 5-day challenge. So, anyway, so when you are actually making that conscious decision to say, you know what, I'm sick and tired of the way this
right.
is going. I'm sick and tired of it.
Right.
So now, what do we have to do?
We have to work on us.
To be better. You know, I heard a statement that somebody said that they don't like the sound to hear when they say that marriage is hard. And my thing, and I had to say, you know what? Marriage isn't hard, but marriage does one thing that everybody else can't do. Marriage causes you to look at you.
Right.
Because when you look at it, when you go to the altar, you got to look at you and what are you willing to sacrifice to be one.
Right. And when you're not ready to change, it challenges every aspect of who you are.
Right. It Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Because through marriage, I recognize I had pride issues. Yeah. I recognize in marriage that I was insecure. Hello. Excuse me. I just told you in the beginning, she's always made more money than me. What man under the belief system that the man got to bring home the bacon? But no one.
But I think that was a part of the problem was because we have our narratives written based off of what we see on TV.
And what was taught to us.
What was taught to us based off of, you know, what we see around with our relatives and our friends and our friends' family. And that does not have to be your narrative for your marriage.
Right.
Work with the dynamics that works for you.
Right.
And rewrite the story.
Rewrite. Because the thing is that when it says that the two becomes one,
right?
Then it doesn't matter. Because, like, right now, she still makes more money than me. But you wouldn't know that when you look at her. You're like, oh, oh, my good, we see who wear the pants. You're right. We both wear jeans. Well, as a matter of fact, we both got them on right now. But then it comes to the point to where she honors me and I honor her. Because if that does not happen, then the things that we're trying to accomplish together will be hindered.
Right.
And that's where a lot of us miss it. So you already see what book she got up, right? She got the bestseller, Marriage Takeover, Know Your Role in Your Marriage. Because this whole conversation is in the book.
Right. So I was going to say, so on page 19, so if you have the book, it's page 19. If you don't have the book, make sure you go to our website, www.marriagetakeover.com, so that you can get it. But on page 19, we really kind of break this down and talk about the constant battle of power.
Y'all better go get the book.
No, I'm just saying, I wasn't going to read the whole thing, babe. I'm just saying, so we talk about the constant battle of power because that's what it is. So when you say, you know, the battle of the sexes, that's kind of when it started. The battle of the sexes, the battle of, you know, who's going to get power, who's gonna dominate, who's going to – and then I think somewhere along that line it was shifted in narrative to where it shifted things to where it was then more abusive. Well, I'm the man, I'm the head of the house, and you do as I say. Well, that wasn't what God had – that's not how he designed that to be.
That's not – you know, I had somebody say to me, oh, well, we see she wear the pants. I said, well, I had a tone. Like I just said earlier, well, we both wear jeans. Why? Because when God pulled the rib out of Adam to create Eve, he created her to be equal and a helper. So, but there is still an order. And what the order is, the head of every woman is who?
Man.
And a head of every man is who? Christ. And a head of Christ is who? God.
Right.
There is still an order.
And whenever you get out of that alignment,
oh my
what
God.
Typically happens is there's going to be conflict in your marriage. There's going to be problems in your marriage. So if you are right now having a conflict or a problem in your marriage, look at the alignment. What is typically taking place? And so when they say, oh, well, you know, the head of man is Christ. Okay, so are you praying to God?
Mm.
Are you covering your family? Are you covering your wife? Are you in devotions with God and worship with God? Are you hearing from God?
Hit that thing.
Ooh, yes, are you Lord. Doing all those different things so that you can really, instead of being in the midst of, like, I know communication is a big deal when it comes to marriages. So instead of going through the cycle of crazy, how many times have you prayed, okay, God, help me to understand what he or she is saying?
Yeah.
Give me the revelation so that I can truly understand what it is they're saying.
How about this? God, why can't I understand what they're saying?
Right.
Because I'll be honest, that was a prayer I prayed. Why? But that's what the Lord showed me was that we think different.
Right.
So
right.
When she's saying something to me, I'm processing it through my thought process. Oh, my God. I'm going to tell you right now, y'all better jump in that five-day challenge because we're going to actually dig into that portion right there. But
yeah.
I'm processing it through that. I cannot process what she's saying through the filter that I have. I got to now ask questions so that I can get the clarity of what she is saying.
Right, right.
But see, it'd be so funny because of how we receive information,
perceived.
It causes the whole, huh?
Perceived.
How we perceive information.
Right.
How it causes so much of an uproar.
Right.
But then once everybody done cool their jets and calmed down, we just realize, oh, shoot, because I misinterpreted one word that you said changed
right.
everything.
And then most of the times we don't have patience with our spouse.
Come on. Say
right?
that.
Love is patient. Love is kind.
It ain't
so we're talking about unconditional love, and we're talking about how God has designed this relationship to work. If we just take a few of the scriptures. We don't even have to take all of the scriptures, but just a few of the scriptures. Am I applying this in my life?
Yes.
Am I applying this in my marriage?
Yes.
Am I patient with them? Am I long-suffering with them? Am I giving them the kind words instead of being harsh and trying to be mean to, like, am I doing those little things?
Come on, mama. Come on now.
And when you really look at that narrative, you can see then, because it's always a self-journey, right? It's you have to do the personal work. Somebody asked me recently, well, how do you do that? How do you work on yourself. You work on I. I can't change Eric.
Not I. You work on me. It's
you cannot change your spouse.
Right.
You can't change your husband. You can't change your wife. And what we oftentimes will do, I heard this recently, and it was so powerful, and I was like, that's exactly what we do. What we do is we date the reality, and then we marry the potential.
Right.
So we marry somebody based off of what we think their potential is. And when we do that, we think that once we get married, things will change. No. You might change your last name when you get married.
That's about
but the
it.
Behavior stay the same. Your lifestyle stay the same. Like, everything remains the same because if you don't change you, right, if you don't change what you're only capable of changing is yourself,
right,
then everything else remains the same.
It remains the same.
So if they were lying when you were dating, guess what? They're going to be lying
when
you
married. They're going to be lying while you're married.
If they were unfaithful when you were dating and you said, oh, when we get married, they're going to change. They're going to be unfaithful when you get married.
Right. If they was overly aggressive before you got married,
right,
they're going to be overly aggressive when you get married.
So it's really important that you understand now that you're in this marriage, okay, God, what do I need to do?
What do I need
to do? Teaching God for the change and the deliverance for yourself.
Come on now.
Because once you can see that clearly, once you get an eye-opening view
right.
of what God has just for you,
you, right,
then you can become the best version of yourself. I don't have to worry about it. There are some areas where I am codependent on Eric, right? It's about the security.
And there
right?
are some areas that I'm codependent on her.
But it's not an unhealthy codependent.
Come on, babe. Say that again.
It's not an unhealthy codependent.
Right.
And so I don't look for Eric to make me happy.
Mm.
Because if you give somebody that power
how,
and that
ooh,
control
come on now.
Of how you feel, how you think, how you move, how you go about your life, guess what? You're going to always be in a position to where they're going to have control over you.
Over
and
you.
The only person that needs to have that control is God.
That's it. That is it.
And so why does the woman always want to have control? It's because it was done back when Adam and Eve, when Eve went and took Adam, gave Adam that apple and that fruit, and I don't know if it was the apple, but she
and
gave
fruit.
Him that fruit.
Scripture,
the scripture
fruit.
Says fruit.
Fruit. Gave him
when
the fruit.
When she went and gave him that fruit and he ate of it, that was when things shifted. So sis, know that it's not your fault and it's not, you know, you're not just coming off the bunk and you're just doing this. No, know that there is a root to it.
Come on.
And now that you know what the root is, okay, God, help me so that I can be in alignment with your will for my marriage.
Come on. Come on, baby. You better say that. Say it again.
I can't always do that.
You got to
so
be
that.
In alignment for your marriage. Because, listen,
okay.
Marriage is not hard. It's not. But the thing what makes it hard is that you got, because you have to deal with you and your ish.
Right. So I say that it's because I ain't.
Hold on one second. Because the thing is, we all have our hang-ups. We
all
have our
them.
Issues.
We all have them.
But you got to understand this. Your marriage is what you make it.
It is what you make it, and it's how you perceive it and view it. Right? You're going to have to do a lot of work. Yes.
But you got the majority of the work that you're going to have to do is actually on you.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's still a lot of work.
No, it depends because to her,
I got
to
do a lot
to
of work
easy.
On me.
Listen.
But it is absolutely how you view it because I don't want to come behind you and say that that's not the case because it is.
Because I'm trying
it's
to
how you
up.
See it. It's how you view it.
I'm having fun in that marriage. You having fun?
No. I'm not saying I'm not having
no,
fun.
No, because what I'm saying is that if you're not willing to put the work in you, it comes out. Within it comes out.
Oh, no. That's not it at all. I love my marriage. I'm
Break
not going to my marriage.
Break
but what
down.
I'm saying is the work that I have to do for me, like sometimes I don't want to face me. Can I just be honest?
Go on. Be honest.
Sometimes I don't want
to
face
don't
me.
Don't be honest.
Sometimes,
be Tamika.
Sometimes I don't want to change.
Ooh.
Right?
Say
there
that
are
again.
Sometimes where I want to be a little petty.
Girl, you happen to somebody.
There are sometimes where that's just the case. And when I get to those moments, it becomes harder because now I have to come and I have to fight through the flesh.
Ooh.
Because now I'm not being spirit-led.
Girl, you helping somebody.
And so when I say that it's hard, it's not hard because marriage is hard. It's hard because I got a whole lot of stuff that I know that God is helping me with. God is dealing with me with. And I'm appreciative of that because I'm not who I was when we first got married.
Oh, my
I'm
God.
I'm not who I was 10 years ago.
Oh, my
and
God.
And so I'm grateful to God for where he brought me from. But I said all that to say in all transparency, working on me and going through that process is not always an easy process.
I'm trying to tell you because – guess what? Because when you're working on you, your spouse has to have unconditional love.
And patience.
Because, and
yes.
patience and humbleness because it's a process to go through the healing. I spent all of, I'm telling you, I went to see a counselor because I had to see what's going on with Brother Thompson. And when I began to see it, I was like, oh, my God, is that really me? I was like, oh, Lord.
Again, sometimes we don't want to face who we are.
Right,
okay,
but,
right?
And it was, and this was, and
first
what,
you went shocked.
And my awesome counselor said, I was,
first you went shocked. That ain't me. I don't do that.
Oh, yeah, I was just shocked. Like, that is not me. But what took place was the counselor said, you know, now go to your wife and tell her, hey, thank you for putting up with me while I'm going through.
Yes.
Not while I went through, but while I'm going through my healing process.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, but your spouse don't become your punching bag.
Right.
You got to recognize your ish and rid of it.
Right. Yeah.
God, baby.
And that's the hard part.
Man, listen. I am so excited what's getting ready to take place on June 6th because y'all are hearing bits and pieces. That's it.
And so I want you all, we want you all, make sure that you go to www.renewmymarriage.com and sign up for the challenge. And not only just sign up for the five-day challenge. Five-day challenge is absolutely free. But I also want to challenge you all to sign up for the VIP access pass. That's only $27, y'all. We have done a major discount with that VIP pass. And what you get with that VIP pass is us for 5 days, morning and night, and our night session probably will be about 3 hours.
Ooh,
so
yes,
you're getting us for at least 15, at least, it could be more than this, at least 15 hours in that entire week.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
So the thing that I, you know, when we see couples and we experience different couples is we can go and we can spend money on everything else. We can go spend money on hair, on cars, on strip clubs, going to the club, going out, hanging out with the girls, vacations where all you're going to do is argue at one another the entire time.
Ain't nobody having fun.
Right. Nobody's having fun. And so $27, you get access to us with at least 15 hours. We're going to start off with morning prayer devotions every day of the week. And then in the evening time, we're going to have our session that's going to start at 8 p.m. And then after that 8 p.m., you get pillow talk with us. Well, we get to get a little bit more intimate after we're done with that Facebook session so that we can really dig in. Now, if you don't want to invest that $27, then you'll be investing more than that when you'll be sitting in front of a divorce attorney.
Oh, my God. You're going to be a whole
right?
lot.
So that's what I don't understand. We can invest in everything else but our marriage.
Ooh, come on.
We can invest in everything else but what's going to help us to tick and to move and to become better.
Come on.
And so now I am going to challenge you with that $27. You can do that. That's one meal nowadays.
See, you ain't lying.
Right. We used to be able to get lunch for like $10, $12. Lunch is like $30 now when you go out to a restaurant.
Right.
For one meal to put your plate down, to get the investment that God is going to pour into you and in your marriage during June 6th through the 11th, come on.
Yeah, man. Tell you.
That's a no-brainer.
Hey, listen, I'm just putting it like this because I remember when we were going through and a lot of stuff that we had to learn on our own. And the reason why we had to learn on our own was because what the advice that we were receiving was based off of what they learned.
And their hurt.
And their hurt. So we had to really sift through and it was a hard time trying to figure out what was meat and what was bone.
Right.
And, so,
and then it was violated. Then it was spread across the
all
entire
over the
church.
Place. And so, and that way, and for us, it got to the point where it's like, okay, God, listen, I know there's got to be a better way.
Right.
There's got to be a better way. And I, when I tell you, when the Lord showed us that better way, you know, as a man,
yeah,
I said, you know what? Forget this. It seems like what I'm doing ain't doing it right. So, God, what is it that I need to do?
Right, right. And at this point, you probably tried so many different things.
So, listen.
You don't have anything to lose.
Nothing to lose. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Hey, listen. I know that if you're listening to this video right now, you are probably at a point where you sit and have a meeting in your marriage. You are tired of fussing and fighting over the dumb stuff. You are tired of pushing your husband to the level where you think that he's not reaching. You're tired of going through the cycle of crazy. You're tired of arguing over finances. You're tired of just being tired. You're sick and tired. And you're tired of being alone. I'm busy. And I know what it feels like to be in a marriage with a beautiful. And so I want to invite you to join me on this 5-day Renew My Marriage Challenge. If you're willing to still put in that work for your marriage, if you're willing to still ready to just kind of get in it and get to work, join me. I promise you, it's not going to be something that you're going to regret. If we're going to transform your marriage. We're going to hit some of those key triggers that you're dealing with in your marriage, and it's going to transform everything. It was a blessing to me. Once I started to change me, my marriage got better. So join me for this trip, 5 days, Renew My Marriage.
Yo, 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 it's your boy E. Rockmill with Marriage Takeover. Fellas, listen, I'm going to tell you, man, join this 5-day Renew My Marriage Challenge. I know a lot of us fellas, we are like, hey, we good, I can do it by myself, I want to do better, I do it on myself. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, someone had to show me the way out. I got sick and tired of suffering in silence. Because don't nobody understand how much of the weight of the world is on our shoulders or how much everybody be leaning on us to do stuff. But listen, and through all of that, I lost that intimacy. I lost that communication. Our communication wasn't as good in my marriage. But when we took that moment and was like, you know what, I want to be better. Not just as a man, but as a husband, as a father, I wanted to be better. Very same steps that I have taken. So this challenge, it helped me to be better. If you trust me, take this journey with me. Sign up today.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, go ahead, baby.
No, 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 you're good. You're good.
Am I?
You're good.
Oh, okay. So, listen, we thank God for your time. What?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
So, listen, we're grateful for this time. We're grateful for the, for you joining us on this evening. As we break it down, amen. So, do you have any other words, babe?
No other words. Thank you all so much for joining, tuning in. And actually, I do have words.
No,
just a reminder of Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. No, Thursday night. Yeah, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Kitchen Conversations every Thursday. And we are on TikTok Live and Facebook Live. So
and
make
YouTube.
Sure that you join us and YouTube Live. So make sure that you join us. And also, check out the website for all upcoming events, all courses. We just pushed out our courses, so we're super excited about that. So just make sure that you tune in, get locked and loaded into marriagetakeover.com. And we appreciate you. We love you. We thank you so much. We're going to pray out. Did you have anything else?
I'm good.
So, God, we thank you. We love you. We honor you, God. And we just ask, Lord, that you would just continue, Lord, to have your way. Lord, that you would continue to bless, God, even this broadcast, that you would continue, God, to bless the radio, the online radio station, that you would continue to bless our YouTube channel, God, that you would continue to bless the platform. God, the marriages, God, that are coming, that are hurting, God, the women, the men, God, that are looking for change, that are looking for transformation, Lord, that you would meet every need in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, you would continue, God, to have your way, that, Lord, you would continue to pour out your spirit, that you would give guidance, that you would love us, that you would show us, that you would guide us, Lord, each
yes.
and every way.
Yes.
Lord, that you would teach us how to love unconditionally.
Yes, God.
Show us, God, how to do that.
Yes.
Lord, show us, God, how to be the helpmeet to our husbands.
Yes.
That you would continue, God, to just have your way in Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus.
Lord, we love you. We honor you. We just ask, God, that you would continue to cover, continue to heal, continue to restore,
yes.
continue to have your way in Jesus' righteous
Jesus
name.
Name.
Amen.
Amen. Put renew my marriage. So, real quick, I know she just prayed us out.
Interrupt my prayers.
No, I didn't know.
That.
Did you say amen? You said amen. Okay. But no, listen, it's not separate for the men. It's all one, but doing the but it's just that was just to let the brothers know, hey, come on in. You know, so it's not separate. It's still the same for the, because it's for the couples.
Is the support? I didn't see the question. Was there a question?
No. And so it's not separate. But at the same time, you catch us October 14th at the marriage retreat. We're going to have something special for the brothers.
Yes.
So I'm just throwing
and
that
the
out.
Ladies. Y'all know I always got something for the ladies.
I want to think about the brothers.
The brothers, they just trying to come up, y'all.
We coming up. We up. You hear me? So, but nah, it's the same thing. But I tell you, come on now, check it out. And I know that you and your husband
will
be so enough blessed.
Yeah. And we like for you both to show up because we can then start, you think differently, right? You respond differently and you go through different challenges. And so we want to be able to address both from both perspectives.
But, you know,
But if you can't come and it's just one.
It is cool too. Come on. Because you got the tools, it's just that you got to just make sure you use them. Because one thing I will say in the testament is that when she changed, that's when I began to change. She began to work on her, and I saw the great stuff that was taking place in her and around her. I was like, hold on, let me look at myself one more time. And it has been such a blessing ever since. So we thank God for your time. We thank you for coming out, joining Rainbow. We thank you for coming out and joining Marriage Takeover.
We appreciate you all, and we will see you Monday morning, 9 a.m. We do a prayer every Monday morning on TikTok. Facebook. We're going to add Facebook as well.
Okay,
Facebook.
So we're going to add Facebook.
So if you're in the Facebook group, you'll be connected to that as well. And we appreciate you guys. We love you, and we are rooting for you. To win in your marriage. So thank you all so much for tuning in. I'm your girl, Tamika.
I'm your boy, E-Rock Nim.
And we signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Marriage Takeover. Connect with us on Facebook at Marriage Takeover.
Hey, family. We are excited to have two new broadcasts added to the When Christians Speak Talk Radio Network.